Good morning. Today we look at Romans chapter 8. And I'll start with a story for you. Yesterday we hiked Sheehalion, which is near Pitlochry. It's in Perth and Kinross. It's the 58th highest peak among 282 Munros. So at 3,553 feet tall, a little bit over 1,000 meters tall, sticking out about 2,349 feet or 716 meters above the other surrounding hills. That was a pretty high hill. I feel it today, let me tell you. The ascent separated the group between the agile and the sheer-footed and the cautious and the less agile. After having reunited at the summit, the descent further segregated the group between those eager to get home to our beds and the less able to gallop downhill among us. And so why mention this at the start of the sermon? And here's why. Because the speed of the ascent and the descent did not get anyone in the car before the guy with the keys. That's right. Although I was lagging behind and people ran on ahead, the young people got there, they couldn't go anywhere because they didn't have what it was going to take to get home. They were still waiting for this slow. I mean, guys, wait until you're 50 years old to climb a Munro, and you will pay for it. I understand that this morning, but it was a wonderful achievement, and we all enjoyed it. The speed of the ascent and the descent did not get anyone in the car before the guy with the car keys, though. And so this sermon today is an inquiry into the benefit of the swift and the sure of a quick journey through this world. There's another great equalizer. There's only one thing that will get you home. And we see the church in many ways trying to keep up with the pace of the ideas in the world. We think, if I could just be where they are and keep up with them, then I'll make a difference in their life. But will it help any of us to get into the car any better, any quicker, if we just run at the world's pace and try to be like the world? The church is decades behind the world. The stuff that my kids listen to on the radio is not what we play here in the church for them to listen to. The ideas that we talk about here, we almost are looking to conserve a true message that is lost in the busyness and the speed and the arrogance of the world. And so what do we do about that? Where the church do fail to keep up, we may miss conversations with those at the front of the pack. But there are junctures in passing where we find opportunity to engage. Do we make use of the opportunity? We see the church in many ways trying to keep up with the pace of the ideas in the world. But will it help any of us get into the car any better, any quicker? And where the church do fail to keep up, we may miss conversations with those at the front of the pack, but there are junctures in passing where we find opportunity to engage. Do we make use of the opportunity? Now, where we try to go where people are in order to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known, how do we do that? Do you do that by being nice and Christian people are nice? Do you do that by loving people well and God is a God of love and so the love of you will make people repent of their sin and turn and commit to following Jesus Christ? Why? Because that person fed me, that person clothed me, that person gave me a glass of water. I think it's arguable that that could make a difference in someone's lives, and we should do those things. And also, as we looked at last week, there is the message about what isn't going to work, and if we live after the flesh, we will fall. If we live after the Spirit, we will be following God. And the righteousness of Christ, what has cleansed us from all sin, His sacrifice, His blood shed, His never-sinnedness, will make a difference in our lives. And as we follow him, looking like him, other people see him who never had the chance to read a Bible, hear about the story, and they do see you. Are you out there? Are you making the most of the opportunity to be at the junctures in passing where people who have run on ahead and who have left the church behind would actually have an opportunity to engage? Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 8, finally. That was a bit of a long introduction. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We spent 2 weeks going through chapter 7, both in this room and in the weekly Bible study that happens on Thursday evenings, looking at the contrast between law and sin, examining the almost gravitational law at work when sin draws us in like a moth to a flame. It's so pretty. I must touch the light. Zzz, comes that blue electric thing in the kitchen of every restaurant. The law at work when sin draws us in. Just above chapter 8, you read at the end of chapter 7. Look at verse 24 then. Here's Paul's opinion. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul sees the sin at work in him. He feels how sin creates drag as he works toward the summit. And the commandments of God make him to know his lack. They are the light shining on the sinful desires that tempt him so strongly that he knows he's sold himself into sin. Look at verse 20 of chapter 7. I do not do what I want. Look at verse 21. Evil lies close at hand whenever I want to do good. Look at verse 23. Another, and I said almost gravitational, another law waging war against my better judgment, against the law of my mind. Would you agree further with Paul in chapter 7 when it says in verse 18, I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out? In verse 21, I delight in the law of the Lord in my inner being. But in verse 23, I am captive to the law of sin that dwells in me. So that Paul exclaims in verse 24 of chapter 7, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Do you say these things that Paul would say? Do you have the desire to do what's right? And do you delight in the law of God? Do you recognize that sin dwells in you? And do you cry out for deliverance from this sin? So here we are with a mountain climbing metaphor and a thin slice of scripture before us, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And can I point out to you, in keeping with the mountain climbing metaphor to living life, that we can't make it to the summit and back without mortal injury. I desire to do it and I can't, and there is this law of God in my inner being, but the gravitational law of sin that dwells in me causes me to sell myself into slavery to sin, and I would die apart from Christ. And God would be right for judging my sin, a holy God who will not put up with anything that will ruin the holy place that is heaven, would not let me in. We can't make it to the summit and back without mortal injury. And those moving quickly ahead, they don't have keys to the car.